Welcome to the Applied Blockchain Podcast, where blockchain technology and innovation are in the spotlight. My name is Adi Benari, and I'm the founder and CEO of Applied Blockchain, and I'll be your host as we dive into relaxed conversations with industry experts and thought leaders to get their views on what they're building, the Web3 ecosystem, and its transformative impact on the modern world. All right, Francis Dean, welcome to the Applied Blockchain Podcast.
Thank you, Adi. Thank you for having me.
So, for our listeners, Francis, you're the COO of VACT. Mm-hmm. Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself, your background? How did you end up here?
Sure. So, I spent a number of years with BP. I started out in government and public affairs, looking at corporate social responsibility, and moved into integrated supply and trading in the project space with business change as a focus. When I left BP, I went to Gazprom. I was the head of financial operations there. Again, much more focused on change and evolution of processes. When I was at Gazprom, I got involved in a forum that EY conduct every year. So they conduct a technical challenge, and this was back, I believe, in 2016. And the technical challenge was around blockchain. And so I got involved in, mentoring one of the entrants to the competition.
Yeah.
As a consequence, after I left Gazprom, I ended up project managing a blockchain experiment for a company called BTL. And that coincidentally was delivering into BP, one of the participants of that particular experiment, and I happened to be interviewing at the time to go to return to BP, and so it was all very serendipitous, basically. Yeah. And then when I took up my role at BP, which was in finance transformation, I managed to inveigle myself into looking after the governance of all the blockchain experiments they were doing in integrated supply and trading. And VACT was
BP.
One of those. Yeah. So I was at BP at the time, and VACT was one of the experiments that they were involved in. And yeah, I was lucky enough to be able to participate in that almost full time towards the end. And then, of course, once VACT had incorporated, I got the opportunity to jump into this kind of joint venture, and that's what I did. And it's been a wonderful and exciting journey, yeah.
Right, okay, amazing. I didn't know some of these things. and for those of you who don't know, we work from the same office, right? We're both based at Level 39, so we see each other very often. But some of these things are really new to me. So, for example, and we share some common threads here. So we took part in the EY challenge as well. So I was working with a company called Tallystix at the time.
Yes, I remember.
And so we took part in that challenge as well, and that's how we met Shell. And then eventually we went through Shell's challenge, and that's how we got the project with them, and then they invested and so on. So I didn't realize our paths crossed then.
Yeah.
And of course, BTL were in the office with us here as well.
They were, When I first came here, it was with BTL, yeah.
Yeah. And then the person that really, I guess, sponsored us in Shell was Mariam Ayati, who one of the people that set up VACT in the first place. And she's on another podcast with her current venture as well.
It's a very small world.
It's a small world.
Small world.
Okay, good. Super interesting. So, Francis, obviously you're at VACT now. So, can you tell us a bit about what is VACT, for those of you who've not come across it before?
Sure. So, we are a platform for post-trade processing of physical oil commodities. So, after a trade is done, What that does is receive the trade facts from our customers via an API. We match those trade details, so we validate them on the day of trade, and then we confirm them during the contracting process. And then we provide facility to manage the logistics of that trade, so moving the molecules from, you know, point A to point B.
Right, okay, so there's some things I know about this space and there's some things I don't, so I'm going to ask you some questions. So the trade has already happened?
Correct, right? Yeah, we are not a trading
company. And are these are over-the-counter trades, so these are people phoning each other up or emailing and
yes,
agreeing?
Yes, they could be over-the-counter, they could be brokered trades, or right. They could be trades that happen on ICE or the Platzi window or AOM, for instance.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And when we say the trade is already done, does that mean they've already signed some documents or they've already formally consummated it in some way, or is that when they come to the platform?
The trade is done when the trader and his or her counterpart say done. So,
okay.
In all kind of trading houses and majors, you will find that, you know, the trading lines are monitored. So if there's ever a dispute about the terms of the deal, they can go back to tapes. But there are formal processes in place once that trade has been done. So typically in a trading organization, it'll be a deal that's done over the phone, the traders will say done, and then either the trader or a trade analyst will enter that trade into their risk system where they manage their risk and P&L. And then there's a recap process. So between them, they'll exchange an email typically with just a small number of key trade facts, you know, price, product, date, etc. And then someone will enter that trade into the risk system. After it's been entered into the risk system, typically then you have you would issue a contract to your counterpart.
Yeah.
excuse me. So where VACT comes in is that, we can validate those trade facts. So, and this is kind of almost the textbook business case for distributed ledger. Mm-hmm. So we've done a trade, we've exchanged an email recap, and we think we've got it right. But actually, you pop those details into your system, I pop them into my system, we could still have it wrong.
It's like any conversation.
And not find out until, mm-hmm. you know, invoice time,
yeah.
or until somebody makes a mishedge, or, you know, another error that would seriously degrade the value of that trade. And so, you know, the case for VAT and for trade validation followed by, legal confirmation on the platform in a digital form, is exactly that. Well, actually, if VACT takes your trade details and my trade details and matches them and highlights any discrepancies immediately for us to resolve, then, you know, there's your business case for distributed ledger straight off the bat.
Yeah. Okay, and I guess before VACT, each party would enter it into their system.
Mm-hmm.
And then, what, there'd be more emails going back and forth, maybe, or that would be it?
Potentially, or as I said, you know, you wouldn't know that there was a problem until right. you came to issue the invoice. As I said before, if somebody made a mishedge and actually, you know, the value of the trade was adversely affected
yeah.
by that.
Yeah. Okay. And where does blockchain come into this, or distributed ledger? I mean, how does that?
So you have an immutable record on the VAT platform. So that doesn't mean that we can't make a mistake, but it means that mistake is transparent to both of us.
Right. Okay.
And presumably the data is, how's the data handled? Is it kind of, does each party have their own copy of their trades, or are they kind of pulled together, or how does that?
So they would enter the trade initially in their own risk system, and then we have an API that we have developed with our customers over a period of time, which takes those trade facts into their pod on VAT. Mm. So remembering that VAT has no sight and no visibility whatsoever of the data of our customers. We are a platform. They have a pod on our platform where those trade details are, you know, immutably recorded and can be compared with their counterpart. But VACT itself has no visibility whatsoever of those facts.
Okay, so I guess this is where the distributed ledger comes in. Everyone has the copy of their trades that they're involved in. If I create a trade, I share it with my counterpart.
Correct.
The counterpart can see it and compare, and that's how you can make sure there are no
Correct.
Problems. There's an underlying ledger of hashes, I think, which kind of records the evidence of those agreements and that data, but the other parties can't see what's behind.
Correct.
And just remind us, what's the technology that's being used?
So we use Quorum.
Quorum, yeah. Okay, and that's kind of the private blockchain
version
of Ethereum.
It is a private permissioned blockchain based on Ethereum.
Yeah, okay. So I guess there's a few things going on here. One is that the counterparts have a system that they can use together, and they can do that comparison, and they can remove any errors in what are presumably high-value trades, and so any errors can have meaningful repercussions. So there's already a lot of value there. But I guess the reason why that wasn't solved before was because each party has their own systems and very closely guarded data. And so to share that with anyone would be very difficult. And so through this system, you can do that matching comparison and remove those discrepancies or highlight them without having to share the data with anyone else except your counterpart.
Absolutely correct.
Okay, perfect. And you've got the immutability behind it as well.
Yes.
So if you see a discrepancy and then somebody says, oh, well, that's not what really happened, we've got this in our system, then you can always go back and say, well, actually, there's a series of hashes here that prove that this was the data that was entered at that point.
Absolutely.
In time.
So in the module that we're talking about here, we call this module VSure. And our counterparts can communicate with each other. So if they see a discrepancy highlighted by the system, they can actually contact each other on the VAT platform to say, well, actually, you know, you said, you know, 2,000 metric tons and, you know, I have 2,500.
Yeah.
It's vital to note that correction of a trade fact would be made in their own risk system and flow back through to that. So that again wouldn't be corrected in VAT itself.
Right. So there, I think it's the ETRM.
Correct.
ETRM, that's kind of their master record.
Yes, absolutely.
From their perspective, and that interfaces into VACT, and then that's how the exchange of
correct
information happens. Okay, perfect. And then presumably after that, once you've got the facts aligned, then the rest of the processes can flow from there with more confidence.
Yes. So the alignment that we're talking about is what we call trade validation. And then the process that follows that in the contract space is called confirmation. So the trade validation is typically carried out by a trader or a trade analyst. It's not the same in every company. Roles differ, but in general terms. And then your confirmations process, which is centered on the contracts process, is carried out by your contract analysts, typically sometimes operators, but more often than not, contract analysts. And what our customers have started to do is in the Northwest Europe barge space, they started to enter into bilateral master trade agreements. And then they have captured the details of those master trade agreements in a template That template is entered into VAT. And again, that template allows them to match those details, make sure there's no discrepancies, mm-hmm. and digitally and legally confirm on the platform without having to produce a contract.
Another contract. Okay. Because you've got a kind of overarching contract.
Correct.
Which you can then...
Yeah. So that's been very prevalent in the gas and power space for a number of years with EFITnet, or EFIT agreement. And now, yes, as I said, our customers are entering into these bilateral master trade agreements, and, you know, the ability to digitally and automatically, if they allow that setting, and there's no discrepancies, that process can also be automated.
Okay, amazing. And where's this at in terms of, it's a live platform, it's been used in the industry, what's the sort of traction usage behind it?
So at the moment, we are able to handle all trades and all products in the Northwest Europe barge market. So middle distillates, light ends, bio, fuel oil, etc.
Yeah. And the platform's been live for a few years, right?
Yes. I mean, in the barge market, since I think February 2019, not in all markets at that point.
Okay, amazing. Francis, tell me, what's your focus now on the platform? So what are the things that you're really thinking about now and prioritizing?
Really the scale up of our Vishore model. So as I said, we're live in all products for Northwest Europe barges. But actually we can accept, you know, almost any type of trade via our trade API. And so we would like to scale very quickly into other markets and other regions for Vishore. So that's the trade validation and confirmation. And then we have another module called VActuals. So, you know, our customers are not only the majors and the trading houses, but also the ecosystem of customers around the trade. So terminals, inspectors in particular. And so what we're doing with VActuals, again, is developing an API where actually they can send back to the VACT platform, to our customers' pod, the actual amount that has either been loaded or discharged, depending on the Incoterms of that trade. And then the customer can pass that back to their risk system so they get, you know, accurate and timely data for invoicing purposes and obviously the calculation of P&L.
Right, and the settlement. Okay, very good, very good. It's obviously a lot to cover with a traditional industry and large companies, and they all have their processes and their ways of doing things and so on.
They do, yeah. It's a challenge.
An easy thing to achieve, but we talked about the value at the beginning. It's obviously, it comes back in terms of having a smoother process and taking out any errors early and so on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, the tagline on our website is protecting the value of your trade. And that's exactly what we do. You know, the value of a trade is eroded by inefficient processing. And so we're trying to make that more efficient with everybody. I always say, you know, the thing that brought the members of the consortium together in the first place was blockchain and the promise of, you know, that trustlessness.
Mm-hmm. For efficiency purposes, right?
For efficiency and for risk purposes.
Yeah.
But the thing that's going to keep them together is a fantastic platform that's easy to use and
reliable and just does the just works.
Just works. Right? Just works. Yeah.
Okay. Very good. And then what are the plans for the future? Like where's this all going?
Well, so good as question. I said, the big sort of immediate priority is that scale up of Vsure to many other markets.
Increasing the footprint.
So increasing the footprint globally, essentially. Yeah. So that's where we're going.
Okay. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of potential. You've obviously got the interface with blockchain technology. We won't get into details, but we can imagine, this kind of panning out in different ways as the platform matures and as the participants maybe get more comfortable and
So, it's not just scale up of Vsure. If Vsure scales, then obviously the actuals will also scale. So, so that's scaling not just with the trading participants globally, but also with the inspectors, the terminals, in the future, potentially, agents, brokers, that whole ecosystem of platform participants. Yeah.
Brilliant. I think this is, I'm looking at it from our angle, from a personal angle. There's a lot of things that go on in the space in relation to this technology. I got into it in the first place, actually, because coming from an enterprise background and a bank, actually, and looking at the efficiencies it could bring for companies working together. There's a lot of headlines, there's crypto, there's the technology itself evolving, there's all sorts of things going on. And the thing I think is most interesting for me are the sort of step-by-step things that happen in the background, right? So the maturing and the progress that you don't hear about in the headlines.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So actually taking large companies through this type of journey is not a trivial task in any way.
Not at all.
Right?
Yeah.
But it's not headline grabbing, right? But it's meaningful.
Yeah.
Right. And
yeah.
I think that's why it's important to know that there's this work going on in the background and it happens in different areas and it happens at a different pace. But it's all meaningful and I think it needs to be surfaced. So good. Thank you very much for that. Last question that I ask, I usually ask everybody on this podcast, if you'd like to recommend a book or another podcast maybe, or a film or something.
So I'd like to recommend Platform Revolution by Sangeet Paul Chowdhury. So Paul came to address our board, I think it was last year. Just to talk about the evolution of platforms generally, right, and how that kind of fitted into that world. It was very interesting, and I know the board were extremely engaged in the conversation. So yeah, I think it's a good read.
Okay, so I haven't come across this. I'm definitely going to get a copy. But what's, just at a very high level, what's his thesis, or what's the message? Oh, maybe that'll be a spoiler.
Spoiler alert.
I'll leave it there. I'm going to read it, and maybe others will as well. Francis,
great.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you
very much for your time. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening to the Applied Blockchain Podcast. Make sure you follow us on LinkedIn and Twitter for more updates. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. And if you did, please let us know by leaving a review and clicking subscribe. Until next time,